Here today we pause for the sacred. We light candles like we do every year. In the season of Advent, these candles are lit for hope, peace, joy, and love. But the reality is, we're part of this world where it can be really hard to find those things. Advent is a season of waiting. We're waiting and anticipating the birth of Christ. It's compared to a mother in her eighth month of pregnancy. And if you know anything about the eighth month of pregnancy, which I only have a husband's perspective, I don't remember much relaxing or much peaceful sleeping. So as we enter Advent, we recognize December is upon us. We hear the Christmas music in the stores. We shop all the sales. We have extra parties, which are all fun, but they also add more to the plate. This is the time of year where we're supposed to be joy-filled, and yet I know some of the reality, especially as we head full throttle into the holiday season. It hits us sometimes as a ton of bricks. I hear it in the phone calls and the prayer requests, when those test results come back positive, or when you're in the hospital and the beeping doesn't stop. Waiting to hear from the judge to see what happens with the kids, the anxiety from our country's leaders. Maybe you're struggling with financial issues, or your spouse, and you aren't getting along, or maybe you don't love your job. Whatever it is, even with Christmas coming, sometimes most of us are barely hanging on. Now, Advent means we're waiting for something else, too. We usually gloss over this part because we mostly want to focus on the birth of Christ, but we're also waiting for Christ to return. It's actually the best-kept secret of Advent because Christ returning is the only way we really can find continual hope, peace, joy and love, what those candles represent. The major struggle we face in our world is we only get tastes of hope, peace, joy, and love. Yes, God's given us these things through the Christ child, but it's just a glimpse. See, God hasn't yet fixed the brokenness of our world, and we're left here in this broken, filled with disease, pain, and strife. And yes, we're barely hanging on sometimes. Until Jesus comes again, it's not fully yet realized. We're in those in-between times. We're getting ready to celebrate Christ's birth, which we've done for 2,000 years, yet we're also waiting for Christ's second coming, which could be today or another 2,000 years. Certainly, we know the truth of God through Christ. We know the good news. Sometimes we're also tired and distraught. Sometimes we're left feeling raw. We know that these candles are lit to remind us of the most essential parts of who God is. But sometimes we struggle because we live in a broken world where pain, hurt, illness and struggles and war are still happening. Yet we are here today in worship, yearning for God's promises of hope, yearning for God's promises of peace, of joy and love to be fully realized. In our scripture reading this morning, Christ is trying to prepare his apostles. He knows that death is imminent, and he reassures them that he will return. He says, "This generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place." Now, scholars explain this generation isn't a time frame, but rather the way in which we live. This broken world generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Christ recognizes these in-between times between Christ's birth and the second coming are going to be tough. Jesus says there will be distress among the nations. People will faint from fear and foreboding. The powers of heavens will be shaken. These kinds of things have been on a continuous loop for these 2,000 years. Distress, fear, and power. And then distress, fear, and power. Distress, fear, and power. And they'll continue this way until finally something more powerful, God, through the second coming of Christ, changes it all. And when the Son of Man comes, that's when we get what's promised, the full realization of hope, peace, joy, and love. A new heaven and a new earth will be created, and we won't have any more tears. We won't have any more pain. There won't be cancer. There won't be tearing down each other. There won't be war. There won't be pain. There won't be death. And for those barely holding on, we can finally take a deep breath. This is the hope that we cling to today, to know that this broken world isn't going to last forever. Now, Christ recognizes that it's not going to be easy to wait, especially with the continuous loop of distress, fear, and power. So Christ tells his disciples what to do when a friend is given days to live. Christ tells us what we can do when the results come positive, what we can do when we lose our job or when our marriage fails or when the markets tank or when war looms. He tells us something that sounds kind of surprising. In these difficult times, he says, stand up and raise your heads. In Luke 21:28, we are told, whatever comes our way, do not cower or live in fear. Do not bury your heads in the sand. Instead, Christ calls us to do just the opposite. We're supposed to stand up and raise our heads. If you remember, this is exactly what Christ does his whole life. Every time someone said a prostitute didn't deserve forgiveness, he stood up and he raised his head. Every time a tax collector or blind man weren't included, he stood up and raised his head. And he kept doing this again and again and again until he got to the cross. Jesus also tells us in verse 34 not to be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness, the worries of life, because it's a trap. Who here hasn't faced a challenge? Who here hasn't had pain deep down in your core? Who here hasn't experienced losing control? If we get weighed down by these things, if we get drunk, if we worry, which might be easy to go there, especially around the holiday mayhem, life is hard enough. So if we fall into this trap, it only makes things worse. Instead, in these in-between times, Christ calls us to pray for strength. Paul reminds us that in our weakness, we are made strong through Christ. So if we recognize our weakness and our struggles, then we must pray and ask for Christ to be strong in our weakness. When I went to Kenya as a missionary, I met all these young college students. They went to St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Nairobi, and I remember distinctly this college-age student. Her name was Njeri. We quickly became friends. She always smiled and was so friendly. Every Sunday at church, they asked for prayers, and one time she stood up to pray. She wanted to thank everyone for their prayers at the death of her mother. She was younger than me. I had no idea. No idea that she'd lost her mom. And yet, I was also amazed at her gratitude and appreciation, her faith, those who surrounded her in prayer. There's another time, 6 years ago, Pat Thomas, a retired pastor's wife, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. I prayed with her, but I was so impressed by her faith. For the entire time that she was sick, she was not afraid. She told me that she knew that God's will was ahead of hers in life or in death. They didn't cower and give in. They didn't let go of hope. Certainly, they were weak. I know each prayed for strength. Others prayed for them as well. With God's help, they stood tall and they lifted their heads high. This is what Christ tells us to do in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of the struggles we face, in the in-between times until Christ comes again. One scholar says the cataclysmic events should not disorient us, but turn us toward God, who has not and will not abandon this world. We're in the in-between times, and the things in this world are anything but easy. And yes, we'll have glimpses of hope and peace, of glimpses of joy and love, but that's it, just glimpses. And we cling to this best-kept secret of Advent, Christ's promised return. And we'll continue to light these candles year after year until that day comes. A new heaven and a new earth where continual hope, peace, joy, and love will reign. Until that day, lean into God's promises and allow Christ's example to guide you and lead you to hope. And when you face difficulties, follow Christ in standing up with your heads raised high. Recognize your weakness. Pray to God for strength. For the evil and pain of this broken world, this broken generation, will pass away. And in the end, hope, peace, joy, and love will prevail. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.